Hey, and we want to say a special thanks to the folks at El Jimador Tequila, also Herradura Tequila, who've made this show possible to be brought to you commercial-free. El Jimador is our house tequila at Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi, and if you'd like to learn more, you can link to them through our website at restaurantguysradio.com.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC, with the Restaurant Guys.
Everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Capital Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can reach us through WCTCAM or restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
Very well. How are you?
I'm great. I had a lovely time last night. I went to some new places. I'm ashamed to admit that I'd never been to the Clover Club in Brooklyn, which is Julie Reiner's cocktail joint.
Wonderful, wonderful little cocktail joint, I hear. I have yet to be.
It was terrific, and I went and I met with a bunch of our cocktailian friends about an event that's coming up in Manhattan called the Manhattan Cocktail Classic. We'll be bringing you some shows about that. We're kind of involved in that, it seems, from the outset.
Well, October's the preview, and May is going to be the actual event.
Yeah, and we're sort of putting it together. We got 10 weeks to put it together. Let's see how that works out. but after we went to the Clover Club, and then afterwards went down to Dutch Kills, mm-hmm. which is Sasha Petrasky's place with a partner, and a partner, you know, we're gonna,
it's a cocktail bar. Sasha Petrasky is the guy who owns Milk and Honey and Little Branch and a place in London, and now he's opened a place called Dutch Kills.
Well, we went down and we met with his partner and we had a great time, and they've got pianos in the back, and I will tell you that the evening went really well. It was me and actually Dale was there, and I'll tell you why that's relevant in a moment, because we turn up at the bar, and it's Dale and his son Leo, and there were some other folks there as well, or Dale DeGraff,
who most people have heard on the show.
But it was a real old time saloon, and Dutch Kills is like, it's out there. You know, it's like, it's its own thing in the neighborhood. Let's put it this way, there are no neighbors to complain if there's any noise. And it's a real old fashioned place, and they're really famous. They've gotten a lot of press for this ice that they use. They use really great ice, mm-hmm. and all the ice is hand carved.
Yep.
But the piano in the back, and there's sawdust on the floor in the back room. So Dale says, I gotta call my friend the piano player. And he has a guy come down who just starts playing Cole Porter tunes and stuff on the piano. Everybody just starts singing along. And it was like, I don't know, it was really a real retro scene. Where
it's what karaoke used to be.
Yeah, well, no, except there was no screen and you had to know the words or you couldn't sing the song. You know what I mean? And it was really just a really nice evening. And then I went to another restaurant that I want to recommend to our listeners is, if you're in Manhattan, Civetta is the downtown venture from the couple that owns Sfolia,
mm-hmm.
Which is the restaurant on the Upper East Side. They're the ones who brought strawberry, balsamic, and tomatoes on pasta to New York City, which we stole and gave them credit for.
I've given them credit every time we use it. We give them credit.
We make it every spring. And the downtown restaurant is really, really delicious, really, and very warm and old world and comfortable and Italian.
Well, you know what? I like their sensibility. Their sensibility is, you know, everything's going to taste really, really great, and it's not going to be over-presented. It's not going to be overdone. You're going to eat some really, really great food, and it's not about the show, and it's not, you know, there's not going to be a flash here or a spark there. It's about what's on the plate and how you're going to enjoy it.
You know, and it's in a fashionable neighborhood. It's on Kenmare Street downtown. For those of you who don't live in New York City, it's downtown in Soho. It's a pretty fashionable neighborhood. I think that one of the things I find interesting about restaurants is how someone sets a tone for the service. And by that, I don't mean the functional part of service, where is the water clear, is the knife clear. It's how you feel and how you're treated when you walk in the door. And I'll tell you something. Sophisticated and nice was mm-hmm. what this was all about. And you know, the room, you can design the room any way you want, but if you get a stuffy maitre d' or a clueless waiter, or a rude person, It the whole thing is ruined. But, and I've been there. I've been to Chiavetta twice now, mm-hmm. and they've just opened up a couple of weeks ago, and the service is great. And actually, the person I was with said, "Oh my God, I thought they'd been open for years." You know,
oh,
and
that's
a tremendous compliment. And they're real comfortable in their own skin.
Don't you see, though, that being the trend now, certainly in New York City restaurants, but I see it across the country. Sophisticated and nice is the bent of restaurants now. And one of the good things, I think, of this recession, while that trend, I think, was really coming and has been coming for a long time, I think that one of the benefits we receive from this recession is sophisticated and nice has been turned up a little bit. And so I think you're seeing more maitre d's, more welcoming, more and nicer, just genuinely nicer and, frankly, happier to see you.
Well, you know, I think that I see that as the goal in more and more places, but, you know, I think it's hard to pull off sometimes.
If you're not sophisticated and nice.
Well, and, you know, if you're in a room where you have, you know, how many employees that work for you, mm-hmm. getting everyone to sort of be on the same page with that, I mean, I think that's what leadership is about, and I think it's pretty interesting to do. Well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTC-AM and RestaurantGuysRadio.com. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, and we're going to talk to you about cocktails today, which is something you've heard us do a lot. There is an event coming up in New York called the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and it will be, you've heard us talk about Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, and no city is more deserving of having a cocktail event like that than New York. And Leslie Townsend has founded the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and she joins us today.
Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So what is the Manhattan Cocktail Classic?
The Manhattan Cocktail Classic is going to be New York's first multi-day cocktail festival celebrating history, contemporary culture, the artful craft, and the general wonderfulness of imbibing.
So now where did you become inspired to do this, and how does a multi-day cocktail festival work? I compared it in the opening to the New Orleans event that we've gone to, and regular listeners on the show have heard us broadcast from New Orleans. What prompted you to do this in New York, and what does it entail exactly? What does the festival entail?
Well, to answer the first question, this whole thing evolved out of a few conversations that I had with a number of the people who are now members of the advisory board of the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and it really was simply, it came out of my asking why there wasn't an event like this in New York. And when I posed that question, it was met with such resounding, overwhelming enthusiasm that before I knew what had happened, my little idea of putting together a small-scale, you know, cocktail event for some friends had spiraled into this multi-day, massive undertaking that required me to leave my full-time job and dedicate myself to it entirely. In terms of what it's going to look like, definitely, you know, the Tales of the Cocktail analogy is a good starting place. But, of course, in the same way that Tales of the Cocktail could only take place in the city of New Orleans, this is going to be an event that could only take place in the city of New York. You know, our city has such a wonderful and storied history of cocktails and cocktail culture, and it's going to have very deeply rooted ties into that.
But one of the things I noticed while down at Tales, many of the people either were from New York or had some roots in New York. It seemed peculiar to me that there wasn't something like this at the time, and obviously we had spoken to friends who were kind of suggesting that something like this was going to be coming up soon.
That's exactly why this is happening. For a lot of people, when I told them about this idea, who were not currently part of the cocktail world, they sort of sounded surprised that there wasn't an event like this, because, like you said, it is so obvious. There's such a, you know, huge talent pool of bartenders and cocktail critics and writers and historians that are all based in New York, and so
that, and cocktail places at which to have events.
Exactly.
And
well, now, we should sort of let people in on what this entails. This is, I mean, they're sort of centered on mostly seminars that are given by some of the world's greatest cocktailians. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. First I should preface this by explaining that what's coming up October 3rd and 4th is merely a preview to the actual Manhattan Cocktail Classic, which is going to be taking place for the first time annually next May, May 14th to 18th. That's the real five-day event, and that will be the annually recurring date. What we're doing in October is just a preview, just sort of giving the public a little teaser of what's to come. And so the preview, as you rightly said, consists mostly of educational seminars that are being held during the day, and those are all being done by the advisory board members themselves. We wanted to sort of keep it close to home the first time around, a bit easier to manage. Then we're wrapping up the weekend with a big blowout cocktail gala on Sunday evening.
Well, let's talk about the seminars and who's giving them just briefly. I mean, you have some of the biggest name in cocktails. We've got Steve Olson and Sasha Petrasky and Dale DeGroff and David Wondrich. I mean, you've got pretty much all of the biggest names in cocktails giving these seminars. And these are open to the public, and people can find out about it by going to your website. That's ManhattanCocktailClassic.com.
Yes. All of the seminars are individually ticketed. There are generally a few different things happening at any given time. So you can't go to any... You can't go to everything. You have to just pick and choose what you want to go to. But indeed, I'm incredibly lucky to have this this collection of people on the advisory board leading these seminars. They really are, like you said, just the biggest names in the industry.
So who goes to the Manhattan Cocktail Classic?
Apparently everyone. I'm watching all of the ticket sales coming through, and we have everything from... You know, bartenders working in the industry, you know, restaurant owners, to just cocktail enthusiasts, people who may hang out every night of the week at a different New York City cocktail bar, or people who are just getting started and want to find out more.
Well, now, this is October 3rd and 4th. It's a Saturday and Sunday event. And Sunday, you mentioned there's a gala at the New York Public Library, which I know we've spoken of in the past. What's up with the gala? What goes on there?
Gala is, we wanted to do one really big event just to sort of kick it off towards what's going to happen in May. And also because all of the educational seminars are just so limited in size, and we wanted to have one event where we really could invite all of the people who need to be there, open it up really wide to the general public, and, you know, have a nice big closing party. It's taking place on Sunday evening, like you said, at the New York Public Library in the amazing Astor Hall, which is one of the most beautiful spaces in New York City. And, of course, as you may know, was built during the first great heyday of the cocktail pre-Prohibition era. We're going to have 12 different cocktail bars set up in the space serving cocktails that originated in New York City over the past two centuries. We're going to have some great New York City-themed food, and one of the most iconic New York City jazz bands, Vince Giordano's Nighthawks.
The main event, I should say, is coming up on May 14th through the 18th. If you'd like to learn more about the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, you can check it out. You can link to the Manhattan Cocktail Classic from our website, restaurantguysradio.com, or go there yourself. Tickets for the preview event, which is coming up in October, are selling out quickly. So if you're interested in listener land, you should definitely check it out. And maybe we'll see you in New York. Leslie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Restaurant Guys on WCTC-AM and restaurantguysradio.com. Welcome back. It's Mark and Francis, the Restaurant Guys. We're talking with our friend Hayden Lambert. Hayden is a bartender at the award-winning Merchant Hotel in Belfast. And, you know, the Merchant Hotel recently came away with some of the best awards in the business for the best classic hotel bar in the world, best cocktail menu in the world, and best drink selection in the world. Those are pretty heady awards. We've known each other since the Merchant opened up in Belfast. I'm amazed at how many people know each other. People who've met you who are now in New York, people who, you know, there are inside jokes that go around as we go to cocktail bars, whether it's Little Branch or Milk and Honey or the Pegu Club or Bourbon and Branch out in San Francisco or the Merchant Hotel in Northern Ireland. There's a real cocktail community that's fairly international right now, which is pretty amazing. How does a New Zealander like yourself wind up tending bar, or as we say in the industry parlance, behind the stick in Belfast?
That's a good question. I don't know myself sometimes. Well, I had my lovely wife who's upstairs, and for everyone who you're never going to get to meet her, except for Francis, who's met her. I met my lovely wife while I was living and working behind a bar in Rome, Italy. And I was making pretty crap, you know, not very good cocktails. Can't say on the radio, can I?
So you can
not
say
very
crap.
Good cocktails,
okay.
And I was, you know, having a good time and living a party life. I met Erin as a holiday romance, and then that went on and it became a relationship and then a marriage. And I moved back to Ireland, and when I came to Ireland the first time, I was still very interested in bartending. And then I met Sean Muldoon. And through Sean Muldoon, you know, he took upon himself to teach me a little bit more about cocktails, and I showed that I really wanted to learn about that side of bartending because I was more interested in flair and stuff like that beforehand. And then I went off for a little while. I had to go home to New Zealand because, you know, one of my grandfather was dying, so I returned home and then came back to Northern Ireland and started work as a telecommunications specialist, so I was on the phones every day. That's just a really cheap word for saying that I was dealing with complaints all the time.
Sounds great.
7 days a week, which was fun. And Sean gave me the opportunity to start behind the bar in the Merchant, and that's pretty much how it went down. I kept in contact with him for 4 years while I traveled and did my little bits and pieces, and as soon as there was an opportunity, he offered it straight to me. So I came on board knowing that there was going to be a lot of hard work, some strange ideas, and a phenomenally dedicated team.
Now, don't you find it's interesting, though, that you were talking about how you were bartending in Rome, you're from New Zealand, now you're bartending in Ireland, and a lot of the folks we meet, and a lot of the folks I meet in New York are from Australia, New Zealand, the UK, all over the world. I guess in Europe people are more accustomed to having people from other countries, you know, working in their field. What is amazing to me is in the United States, I find so many bartenders who come over to work with Audrey at the Pegu Club or with Sasha at Milk and Honey and then do a little stint in New York for a while. And as a result of that, there is this international community of bartenders on the high end that we all know each other. Don't you find that a little strange?
No, well, I mean, as you said, it's the high end. And I was thinking about this the other day. It's the apex of any kind of industry. The very top part of the industry is really, really small. You know, when you're at the very top of it, you know, there's only another 5 or 10 or 15, you know, places that are at the top. And it's funny with the community. You know, there's a lot of Australians. I never met these people before I came to Belfast, like Sammy J. Ross. Sammy J. Ross is from Frankston in Melbourne, and my mum's from Melbourne, so I'm a little bit Australian, but don't tell too many people. And Sammy always has me on. He's only met me once, but every time I hear from him, he's given me a hard time about being Australian, where I'm naturally from New Zealand, you know? So there's a little bit of the fun and games about Australia and New Zealand there. And, you know, Mickey McElroy from Milk and Honey, and he worked in, when he comes back to Belfast, he works in our bar. And so all of a sudden, that opened up more connections with Mickey. There's, you know, Audrey, and Sean's met Audrey, and through Audrey, there's Robert, and through Robert, there's Dale, and then through Dale, there's David, and you know, and Gary Reagan, and then you've got Stan Vardner. So it becomes a really, really small community, and you've actually been, Francis, it's funny, you've actually been quite an integral part in that little cog, and I don't know, I can't explain it, but you know Dale, and through Dale, kind of was introduced through me through emails. He sent me an email, and it's funny, it is that kind of top tier through Salvatore Calabresi in the UK. There's Peter Dorelli, and on top of that, Ben Reed, and you just kind of build on these people who have small amount of friends that you build on, and it's been really, really wicked. In the last 3 years, I've got to meet all the people that I've ever wanted to meet. Simon Difford, who's I would consider a really, really good friend. And when I'm in London, I'm in his place all the time. And then through Simon, there's been a few other recommendations. There's Mark Ridgewell and, you know, John Kakuru and all these brand ambassadors that are traveling. Well, they're always spreading the word. They're coming to your bar and then they're talking to other people. So it kind of ends up it being this really tight-knit community. I can't say everyone loves each other because I wouldn't know that, but everyone knows of each other.
You know, Hayden, I think that we all want to meet people and talk to people who are as interested in the things we're interested in, but also can teach us something. There's this, you're talking about this long chain of people, but in all of those people is a little something. First of all, they have the same passion for it that we do, and second of all, there's something that they can teach us.
Oh, for sure, Mark. You know, every single person that I've met through the bar, you know, Audrey, they've taught you something new. And, you know, it'd be like chefs going and doing 6 months stint in a restaurant. They go and do 6 months with a chef, and then they go do another 6 months with another chef. And you do learn a lot of intricacies, like watching Dale shake cocktails is phenomenally cool. You know, because he's so cool, he's so just laid back, and he makes drinks with a big smile on his face.
And just so everybody knows, Hayden's talking about Dale DeGroff, a guy we've talked about a lot on the show and talked to a lot.
Well, Dale's a phenomenally cool guy. And then you got Gary Reagan, who's a little bit different. You know, he's a little bit more laid back, funny, you know, a little bit more crass. And you meet people like that, and they do teach you stuff. They teach you the art of bartending. There's a couple of recipe swaps. You know, you ask them how they do that, and then you kind of compare it against the way you do it. And it's really, really good.
One of the things that I think is really fascinating is that it's sort of like this is how the great chefs of the world all know each other and visit each other's kitchens when they travel around. And the same thing's going on with bartending. Much like I think what's going on behind the bar is like what's going on in the great kitchens of the world, you know, as far as the freshness of cocktails and using fresh ingredients and seasonal ingredients. And I think it's a wild thing. But, Hayden, we need to leave it there. I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us on The Restaurant Guys. Accounting for the time difference and all. If people want to learn more about the Merchant Hotel, we're going to put a link up on our website, and you can go there and ask for Hayden when you go behind the bar. He makes tremendous cocktails. We'll talk to you soon, Hayden.
Thanks, Hayden. Good talking to you.
Mark, it was a pleasure. Francis, it was a pleasure.
We will be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTC-AM and RestaurantGuysRadio.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. You know, a love of food and wine and sharing that whenever you travel, with wherever you travel or with whomever you travel, is really an entree into a town, you know, mm-hmm. into another place. It's the same as wine, but, you know, to research the great bar of the place and get to know a little and walk in there and sort of ask about the town, those are the people you want to ask about the town.
And one of the keys to dining in outside the town that you're in and going to visit new places, ask questions. If you are interested, realize that most of the people who do this job are a little bit crazy about it. We love it, and we love to share the things that we've experienced. That's why you get into the hospitality business, because we love to share it. So when somebody shows interest and wants to talk about these things and really wants to hear the story or learn something new, people in the towns that you go to, in the cities that you go to, for the most part, that will really increase the pleasure you have at a place, because people when somebody's interested, that's when you really want to show your best.
Well, and you know, the best resource for finding great restaurants in a town is to go to a restaurant that you know of through a blog or through a website and find. I always think the bartender is best, but you know, a waiter, you'll know the person who has the insight, and ask that person where else to go in town, because that's to find the bartender. Say, okay, listen, I love your drinks. You know, I've heard about you. I'm from out of town, though. Where should I go that nobody knows about? And that's the way to travel, man. That's really the way to travel.
Yep.
Anyway, well, I hope that you've enjoyed this hour as much as we have on The Restaurant Guys. We are The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schock.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
You're listening to us on WCTC AM on RestaurantGuysRadio.com.